Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great service department. They'll take care of everything. Inspections, fabulous. Routine, fabulous. Difficult, fabulous. They just get it done. It really, it's one-stop shopping. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We now head to the complaint department to get an update. To make sure there are no complaints.
Just with the NHL again for being inconsistent with their COVID protocols. But other than that, I'm pumped for the boys' big win last night.
It was a big win last night. Rutgers had won four in a row, playing really well. Also had not played on the road, Rutgers, in a month. Penn State played fabulous defense last night, and we'll talk to Dick Girardi later in the show about this. The primary matchups going into the game, and I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday, that they're going to match up Lundy against Harper, and they're going to match up Jalen Pickett against Baker. And, you know, you're not going to guard them every second when you're out there, but they're the primary matchup that you have. There is a gold standard in basketball where if you can average 1.5 points per shot, you are going to be able to buy beachfront property in several locations in the world because you're going to make a ton of money in the NBA at 1.5 points per shot. Harper and Baker came into the game last night combining to average 28 a game between the two of them. And Harper, they were 5-0 with Harper. When Harper scores 20 or more, Rutgers is 5-0. They're now 4-6 when he doesn't. Last night, Baker and Harper combined to take 21 shots. They combined to score 14 points. If 1.5 is the gold standard, then the gold standard would have been 42. 42 points if they got 1.5 points a shot. Instead, they got 0.67 a shot. They got 14. They got 28 fewer than that. That is lockdown defense. Now, every once in a while, you're going to get away with one where X has a wide-open shot and they don't make it. That happens. And that's part of the night. But for the most part, the defense was terrific. Rutgers only shot 34%. Penn State's now 5-1 when they hold teams under 40% from the field. They out-rebounded them again last night. 7, who had no points, no rebounds, and no assists in 7 minutes against Purdue, made a couple of subtle changes encouraged by the coaches. 17.6 assists last night. So if I were to have told you back on at 4 o'clock in the morning on January 2nd when I got off the plane from Tampa that they would go through a 9-day stretch and be 3-1 How happy would you be?
Very much so.
Right? Well, that's what they accomplished. That is what they accomplished.
Can't ask for much more.
And even the game they lost was to third-ranked Purdue, and they lost by 7, and they actually took the lead with 3 minutes to go in that game.
Yep.
Great job by Micah, Adam, Aki, Mike. I mean, great job by the staff preparing them. And great job in terms of execution. And these guys believe in themselves. I mean, which really helps. They're playing really good defense. They're keeping the pace of the game down, which is a part of their formula. They play at a slower pace. I'm not saying that's how Michael wants to play forever. But with this team, that's how he's had to play. Getting Greg Lee into the lineup has really helped. He had a dozen rebounds last night. Takes a lot of pressure off John Hara. And John, by the way, had 16 last night. He was one off his career high. John's one of only four players, by the way, in the country in major college basketball, averaging a double-double.
He outscored Rutgers early last night, too.
Yeah, he did. But again, all credit to all these guys for how they're playing right now. They have done a great job. And they're going to play Ohio State Sunday at noon. Ohio State plays at Wisconsin tomorrow night at 7. They're going to play Ohio State Sunday. It'll be the last time they played was 6 weeks ago. Ohio State, by the way, is a terrific team. Liddell's really good. Young's really good. You know, they can go inside out. They shoot the ball well. But Penn State's a different team than they played back on December 5th. And it had to be refreshing for Micah Shrewsbury to look down the bench and go, hey, I got all my players. I have options. Giovanni Scott got in last night, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, but that's a couple minutes where John doesn't have to be on the floor. He can get a little bit of a break. And by the way, the players have today completely off, first time in 17 days. And I saw John this morning, and I saw Caleb Dorsey this morning, and I said, how's this feeling? Oh, they said, they've been looking forward to this one. Never earned it. It's interesting, you talk about what strategy means and how you, in the feel of the game, how you play it. Out of timeouts against Indiana, Micah threw some zone in there, and that threw Indiana off. But then they played Northwestern. Never played zone. Then they played Purdue, mixed in some zone and even some box and one. Last night, nope, played man-to-man, never played zone. He has really a great feel, Micah Shrewsbury does, for the game and also a thought process of what they might be thinking on the other bench. Got to give credit. I mean, give him credit. It's not just what you can do. How can you mess them up at the same time? Accentuate your strengths and push some buttons and accentuate their weaknesses. Done a terrific job with it. I know internally in the station we've talked about accentuating strengths and exploiting weaknesses, and we've gone round and round. I mean, all of us. I mean, Mertzi, you, me, Mark. I mean, we can't find the suit strength. All right, so, I mean...
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Chief. I mean, the chief knows more than anybody. All right. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Elmwood Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, so let's now stick with the theme of Penn State here, and we'll make the transition from basketball to football, and the revised Big Ten schedule came out today. Now, it got leaked yesterday, but kind of like a LeVar Arrington Hall of Fame moment. but as you know, I think it's so important when you sit in this particular chair that when you criticize, you have to have the ability to praise. Now, for those who have listened to the show for 10 years, you're trying to think of the moments where I praised the suit. All right. I didn't say the theory was perfect.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But, Matt, doesn't he have to give us something to praise? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my almighty!
All right. So, have I been critical of the Big Ten in certain areas? Yeah. And when I thought they did it right, I've been the first one to sit here and praise that they've done it right. And by the way, I'll give you a good example. Last night, I said straight out in the broadcast, I said, you know what? I said, that's four straight games, Dick. I said, I feel like it's been four really well-officiated games. Okay. All different crews, no people the same, but, you know. Because when it is worthy of praise, we praise. So let's get to the schedule. I think the Big Ten did a great job with the revision. Not a good job, did a great job with the revision. So let's go through at least some reasons why I think it happened. Now, one is obviously, I'm sure there's some television considerations that enter into this. It always does, and it should. I mean, there's a lot of money involved here, and money that benefits every sport. So television, I'm sure, has to enter into some of this. But let's take a look at it from the Penn State point of view. Okay, why switch out Northwestern for Illinois? So let's go back to the 2020 season, the COVID season. Penn State was scheduled to play Northwestern at home in Beaver Stadium in 2020. When the season got postponed, canceled, or whatever it was back on August the 11th of last year, whatever it was, right? And then the decision was made to bring the season back starting October 24th. Penn State, they played 8 games and not 9. The game that got wiped out was the home game against Northwestern. They then tacked on the bonus game at the end of the year, which nobody knew what the opponent was going to be, and it turned out to be a home game with Illinois. Of course, they played Illinois, as we all know, this year at home. Well, Illinois would have had to have come to Beaver Stadium 3 consecutive years. That's not right. That's not fair. It's not fair to Illinois. And so what they did was is they switched out that, and Illinois is going to go to Indiana, I think. They switched out that game, and they put the Northwestern game back in there. That was the original opponent in 2020. Perfectly fine. I like it. A little more variety in the schedule, and it makes up for the fact that Northwestern was supposed to be here 2 years ago anyway. That's one. moving the bye date to week five instead of being at week, what, seven? Something like that, seven or eight? Well, I think it's they moved it up 2 weeks. As long as it's not week four or it's not week 11, I don't care where it is in that area. At least it's somewhere in the relative neighborhood of the middle. Perfect. They've now split up Michigan and Ohio State, which have been back-to-back. Ohio State at home in the first and at Michigan on the eighth. Come on, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense, for not just for Penn State. Doesn't make sense for the conference. It just doesn't. So now they've got at Michigan on the 15th, following the bye week. Ohio State at home on the 29th. And that 29th of October is in the general area when Penn State plays Ohio State anyway. Okay. Minnesota got moved up to be the game in between the two on the 22nd from November, and they got moved up. And they flip-flopped, or not, didn't flip-flop. They moved Michigan State from October to the end and moved Rutgers back a week. That's great. I've never liked the fact that the Big Ten wanted to, like, hey, we're going to rotate Rutgers and Michigan State and Maryland at the end and create rivalry. Please, look, no. Don't do that with Maryland and Rutgers can play at the end. Nothing is going to replace Pitt being the last game of the season. Nothing will. In terms of the rivalry and so forth. But Penn State's now been in the Big Ten since the start of the 1993 season. So it's 28, 29 seasons, whatever, coming up on 30 seasons here pretty soon. I think this will be the 30th season coming up in the Big Ten. That Michigan State game at the end has been a good game. Whether George Perlis was coaching it, Nick Saban was coaching it, Mark D'Antonio, and now Mel Tucker. It's turned out to be a good game between the two. And it puts together a nice doubleheader for the Big Ten to have Ohio State, Michigan at noon, and Penn State, Michigan State at 3:30 or 4, whatever the time frame happens to be. That makes sense. It's a good game. And the two of them at least have had, in terms of the intensity of the game, a good thing going between the two. Again, it's not Penn State Pitt. Nobody knows that better than I do. And you're listening to somebody that goes back, you know, working in the broadcast of Penn State football for 43 years. So believe me, I know the intensity of Penn State Pitt like the back of my hand. But then this makes sense. And this schedule that now Penn State has for 2022 is far better balanced. It was so front-loaded before. Think about this. You had to play at Purdue, you had to play at Michigan, you had to play at Auburn, and you had a home game with Ohio State in the first 6 weeks of the season. Wow. Now it's spread out. It's better balanced. I think the Big Ten did a great job with this, and I know TV's part of the consideration, but it gave Penn State a far better balanced schedule, and I give the Big Ten all the credit in the world for that. Tyler Donahue, next half hour from 247 Sports. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, where it's 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. If it does, well, the Sunbury Motors guarantee means everything. Sales staff that works with you to save you money. Your trade-in's never been worth more. And service department, inspections, routine work, difficult work, they can handle it all. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping. They're the best in the business. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we're going to talk with Tyler Donahue, 247 Sports, in a moment. Dick Girardi, next half hour. Reginald Walker, final half hour. Get to a little college football playoff talk as well. Back, let's get to Tyler right now. Tyler, it's great to have you with us. Thanks a lot for your time. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. I hope this year's off to a great start for you.
Yeah, I hope it is for you as well. Thank you. So, for those making their plans, this is what you got. You got at Purdue, right? It's one of the 10 straight years Penn State opens the Big Ten on the road. Not that anybody noticed. Ohio University, then go to Jordan-Hare, Auburn, Central Michigan, which looked good against Washington State. Then this is where the changes come in. October 1st, well, now, instead of being Ohio State, will now be Northwestern here. And then they have a bye week instead of playing Michigan. Then the game against Michigan goes back to October 15th in Ann Arbor. Minnesota, instead of being in November, is now going to be October 22nd here, followed by Ohio State October 29th here. Remarkably, Indiana still stays on November 5th. How that happened, I never know. November 12th, Maryland here, stayed in the same spot, and then they flip-flopped Rutgers and Michigan State. Well, Michigan State was going to be in October. They're now to the end on Thanksgiving weekend, and at Rutgers is November 19th.
Yeah, you get all that? I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. I think they actually have reverted back on the GoPSC website to 2022 schedule, but we got an early glimpse at it, and I know you have as well. So whenever this thing does go official, it pretty dramatically shakes up October, and then you've got Michigan State to cap off the season, which you weren't expecting, and that's the second straight season where we've seen Michigan State added to that final game slot of the year. I think first off, though, all the people who maybe put some money aside to get on campus for that first Saturday in October to see Penn State play Big Bad Ohio State, maybe be at the whiteout game, I'd imagine they have some qualms this afternoon.
Well, at least they're finding out now.
Yeah,
okay.
<kidding.
laughs> At least they're finding out now, which is a big plus. But, yeah, but it does break – this is what it breaks up. It breaks up having Penn State play Michigan and Ohio State back-to-back. That's the big part to me. And it gets Michigan – so, in other words, in October, you had Michigan, Ohio State back-to-back. Then a couple weeks after that, you had Michigan State. It gets Michigan State into November. It splits up Michigan and Ohio State. I think this is a more palatable schedule for Penn State moving forward. It's got better balance to it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's really going to be interesting to see. That bye week falls a little bit early based on what we're seeing in between that Northwestern and Michigan game. You know, would you maybe like to have a bye week slipped in there somewhere with Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio State back-to-back-to-back games? Probably would be preferable, but, I mean, we'll see. Depending on how they get through those first five games, it's not really going to matter. They could be 5-0, and everyone's going to say, let's find out now. Because they go to the Big House on October 15th, and they come home for back-to-back matchups, Minnesota and Ohio State. And I'm just incredibly intrigued by what Minnesota might look like this year. They haven't been able to duplicate their success of 2019, nor has Penn State, though. And when those two teams meet in October with Turk Shiraka, Tanner Morgan coming back to town, and you know guys that we're very familiar with, and all of a sudden that's a matchup that, depending on how it goes, sandwiched in between Michigan and Ohio State, feels like it could swing the season for the Nittany Lions.
Well, yeah, the bye week is after week five. You know, it's not at the very beginning. It's not at the very end. I'm okay where the bye week happens to be, but it's completely different. All right. So now let's get to comings and goings in the transfer portal. I don't think it's any surprise that Joseph Darquard put his name in. And he will transfer out along the way. How critical, Tyler, the next 10 days to 14 days in terms of the portal?
I think it's massive for Penn State. I mean, they made a pretty significant splash in getting Western Kentucky wide receiver Mitchell Tinsley on board. Will he come in and be a plug-and-play starter? I don't know, but I think that's the mission when you go out and get a guy who had 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns at his last stop. So maybe that's someone who goes right into the starting lineup and maybe projected alongside Parker Washington and Keandre Lambert-Smith. But I still think you got to reinforce the trenches here, looking at the offensive tackle position now that Rashid Walker has made his mind up about 2022. They're very thin right now at tackle, and I think a lot of the guys that we have talked about factoring in at tackle, including Landon Tengwall, guard might be the focus there next year for them. So I look at the offensive tackle position, maybe the guard position again, which they got Eric Wilson out of Harvard last year. I think defensive line, though, Steve, is, last year they really hit a home run with Arnold Ebiketie coming in as, an all Big Ten, all American caliber edge rusher for you. And then Derek Tangelo, more unheralded, but he started every game in the regular season. Very important when P.J. Mustafer goes down. Right now, I think maybe, particularly the defensive end position, can they make a move there? Linebacker depth, I think, is a bit concerning. Can you bring in a linebacker who has starting experience at the FBS or Power 5 level? There's a lot of names out there. I know last year quarterback was the hot-button topic, and would Penn State add one? Right now, it feels like, though, quarterback is going to sort itself out with what they brought in and what they bring back. And I think the pieces around that position, the guys who are going to protect the quarterback, they need some of them. The trenches are where I'm entirely focused here, to be honest.
Yeah.
They took care of wide receiver. I thought that spot was an obvious need for them, and I think it was a really good selling point for them because of what wide receivers have done under Mike Yurcich, what Jahan Dotson just did, and their ability to spread the ball with a returning quarterback who's played a lot of football. But now, can Phil Troutwine and can you sell this vision for this being the bridge that gets an offensive lineman from being, maybe a middling draft prospect or a late-round draft prospect? Can you convince him that if he comes to Penn State, he can leave at the other end and improve his draft stock? And I think that's an important case to make, and probably harder to make right now coming off the 2021 season than selling your vision on the defensive front, because Arnold Ebiketie, you point to him and his pedigree and what he did in 1 year at Penn State. That is a really, really strong selling point.
By the way, is Adisa Isaac actually Arnold Ebiketie? In other words, in other words, the idea is like, okay, he's not in the transfer portal, but he's a guy that now re-enters your lineup and changes. You can't have enough edge rushers. There's no doubt about that, because you got to rotate guys in. I mean, that's one of the issues Alabama had in their game. They couldn't rotate in enough edge rushers to go after him last night, and they finally got tired in the fourth quarter. But to me, Isaac is the kind of guy that he steps back in there, and there's the first step on your 2022 Arnold Ebiketie.
And P.J. Mustafer is going to step back in there, who they, sorely missed during the final second half of the season. He was outstanding to start his year. So to get those two guys, you obviously saw a big flash from Smith Gilbert in the first half of that Outback Bowl game. I think Nick Tarburton, really proved a lot of people wrong this year in his ability to hold up in the Big Ten. But I don't think he's that twitchy athlete off the edge. Maybe Zariah Fisher is that guy. But, yeah, you're going to need some players who can get in there and disrupt. I mean, Arnold Ebiketie, I believe, had the highest sack total without playing in a bowl in 6 years for Penn State.
Yep.
So we're talking about a serious sack artist that you have to replace. And I think Adisa Isaac, in an ideal scenario, it fills that breakout role that we thought he might fill in 2021. Mm-hmm. But coming off of his injury and just considering his lack of overall experience and being a guy who handles those kind of reps in the Big Ten trenches, I think it's a little bit, it's a little dangerous to put all your eggs in that basket.
What has the transfer portal done for your job? It's one thing to sit there and track, guys that might sign early, then track guys that might sign late. What about the portal, and what has it done actually in your job and how you have to track people?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was within like 72 hours of Penn State's final game. We got word that John Lovett was going to pick Penn State to transfer to out of Baylor. And I mean, it just happened so quickly. And now you're seeing Michael Tinsley, announcing that he's coming to Penn State from Western Kentucky before they even play in a bowl game. So I think it really, what it's done for me is it has blended the offseason right on into the end of the season in terms of movement. Because normally into mid-December, you're kind of coming up on the peak bowl season when you have signing day. These guys aren't going to impact your roster for maybe a couple years, 3 years in most parts. transfer portal, we're seeing movement happen, you know, before Thanksgiving in some instances. We're seeing big-time prospects, big-time risers, all sorts of prospects. And it's not just, you know, okay, this guy was go check his recruiting profile from 2 or 3 years ago. How could you not offer the guy? You really have to get down and assess where this young athlete is in their career at 20, 21 years old. You can't cling to what they were at 17, 18 years old. And I think that's why you see a lot of prospects and players disappointed at what the results are in the portal. And I think you kind of evaluate what Penn State did there last year and how they found their wins. They got a guy from Temple who didn't really have any kind of Power 5 sniffs coming out of high school. They had Derek Tangelo, who wanted to play at Penn State, didn't get that opportunity coming out of high school. And then, of course, you know, you just go through the list, and I think a lot of people want to match up the recruiting credentials and that. And I think that's the hardest part, is figuring out exactly where a player is at this point in their career. And when you have data, you know, in an instance where you're bringing in a receiver who had 1,400 yards last year, that's a lot easier to work off of. I think some of the names that get people excited, because maybe they're not too far removed from their signing day, those guys, when they haven't produced, even at the highest Power 5 level, you know, if they're the number 7 wide receiver at Ohio State or the number 3 running back at Alabama, you don't really know what you're going to get. And you hope that they come out the other side as a peak performer like they were coming out of high school. But mentally, physically, spiritually, guys change, guys evolve, guys devolve. And I think that's probably the trickiest part. And you know, it's requiring Penn State and all these other programs across college football and people in my industry to essentially add a new department, whether it's us covering the transfer right. portal or whether it's Penn State hiring people who are basically just tracking the portal constantly and helping to evaluate and helping to make connections. And I think you know this, Steve, big kind of secret, maybe not so much of a secret anymore, is a lot of these players who end up in the portal, they've already kind of gotten an intended destination.
Right.
There are a lot of back channeling, a lot of conversations happening. So it's not necessarily a guy's tipping his toe in the water and he's completely open-minded. I think a lot of times you're fighting uphill to convince a player to maybe take a look at your program.
Yeah, no question. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of soft tampering going on, if mm-hmm. not just blatant tampering at this point.
Yeah.
So that brings up one final question for you. You've talked to enough people, and you have to deal with this on an everyday basis. Do they have to sit down and now put together rules dealing with the portal in terms of, you know, a dead period, an open period? I mean, you know, when you can put your name in, times of the year you can do it. Is there elements they need to change in this?
There probably are, and I don't necessarily, as the NCAA kind of cedes its power over to the players, I don't necessarily know how they can get that power back in some capacities where you're restricting when players can announce, or if you're saying you're tied to a school for a year after you sign there. I know people are frustrated at seeing players, you know, leave their school after spending a semester and a half there, one semester there. I think there's something to be said for the free will of the athletes and being able to move. But James Franklin has mentioned this a lot. It is a very difficult thing to manage for the university and for the football coaching staff because you've got compliance involved and you've got to deal with trying to sign a recruiting class, trying to keep your recruiting class on campus for more than a year. And I think at the end of the day, what the issue is here is the NCAA opened up a bit of a Pandora's box, whether it was well-intentioned or not, creating that bonus eligibility from the NCAA a couple of years ago. So now you've got all these super seniors and guys that are going to be super seniors, and you're supposed to keep within scholarship limits. I think if there's one thing that you could change, maybe would be the scholarship limit. I don't necessarily know how that would work.
Right.
But I just can't see the transfer portal getting tremendously restrictive. I would be very curious to see if a dead period could be pulled off. But I think there are a lot of things on the NCAA calendar that need to be reshuffled. And I think right now the transfer market is there's a lot of momentum moving in one direction, and I just don't know if the NCAA has the authority at this point to really pump the brakes on it.
I don't know if they have the authority on much. All right. to be honest with you, I mean, as time goes, I mean, you have to openly ask the question, in 5 years, do they exist? I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Tyler. Great insight as always.
Steve, great to talk to you. Hope to do it again soon. Take care.
Sports. You know, something that's been lost in all of this, To me, a letter of intent is a contract. It's up to the school to uphold its end of the contract. It's also up to the player to uphold their end of the contract. And I think what the NCAA has to do is they have to come up with a contract that is universal, that everybody must follow, player and coach and coaching staff and university, and then work the transfer portal off of that contract. And I think that's an important something that they need to sit down and really take a long look at, of a universal contract that includes in it, yes, you can transfer, but put the parameters in as to what times of the year you can do it, and it just can't be any time willy-nilly you want. That's at least something I think worthy of discussion. It's interesting that Matt's had several of those in the corner office and never once felt it was worthy of discussion, but those are different topics, Matt. I don't really know where he's coming from. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Dick Girardi next half hour on Penn State basketball. They've won three of their last four on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance, so let's just go in and play and have fun.
Boy, is that Jalen Hurts or is that Ben Roethlisberger? Might as well take the same attitude for both.
I would slightly disagree. I think the Eagles have a better shot to beat the Bucs than I think the Steelers have to beat the Chiefs.
Oh, my God. Will you stop it? Tampa Bay is better than Kansas City. Problem with Tampa, here's where you got a shot against Tampa Bay. Okay? Godwin's out. All right? That helps you. They've got guys that are banged up. I mean, it's going to be, that's where you've got, Kansas City doesn't have that kind of issue. But stop with this. Oh, you're playing at Tampa Bay.
Okay. Well, I know it's a tough matchup. I'm just saying, I think if you ask me who has a better chance for an upset, the Eagles or the Steelers, I say the Eagles. The Eagles are better equipped to pull off an upset because of their rushing attack. That's all. Do I think the Eagles are going to win this game? Right now, if you had to ask me, I would say no. But I think they have a chance. This game is not impossible for the Eagles. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Have you looked at the team picture? Have you looked at the names at the bottom of the picture?
I know.
They played Tampa Bay tough when they played up here. Now, let's give the Eagles' offensive line a lot of credit, because I thought that was going to be a weakness going into the season. But once they made a commitment to running the football instead of throwing it three times and a half, I mean, that's just a coach trying to get used to what's going on out there with his own team, own personnel. I give him credit. They weren't stubborn about it. They started running the ball, and they found success with it. And Tampa Bay's a different team now because Godwin is not in there. I know Evans has been banged up too. Maybe they'll play Antonio Brown. Sorry, he's out.
Whoops.